Valley, hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pen.
Jim Tarano filling in for Dean Richards this morning here at WGN. Trying to stuff 4 pounds of bologna in a one-pound bag this morning. Hopefully doing a good job. Hope you enjoyed the show so far. And we will continue on for another about 45 minutes or so, and then we will go to a pregame, and then Northwestern will be taking on Ohio State in basketball. I am very pleased and very excited to have a longtime colleague who I literally probably have not seen, maybe even since before the millennium.
It's true.
It absolutely may have been that long.
Yeah, it's true, and you look the same whatever you're drinking.
Well, thanks to Just for Men. But you look fantastic as well. I'm here with Dan Geyer, who is the film critic for the Daily Herald, as well as the president of the Chicago Film Critics Association, which I was a very proud member for several years, right at the beginning of it, back in the early 90s.
Yes.
When I was writing some film column for the Illinois Entertainer and also was editing a movie magazine called Inside Hollywood. And so I got to know Dan and went to many of the association's programs and, of course, their yearly which we used to have like a whole big to do.
It was a big to do.
I mean, it was like a big deal.
And now it's a big to done.
it's
over that. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there used to be an award ceremony.
Yeah.
And thanks to Dan and the Chicago Critics Film, the Chicago Film Critics Association, I got a chance to meet one of my all-time idols. It was great because there were some of the biggest stars in Hollywood came in to get their awards.
Oh, it's
and so we got to schmooze with some
people like Spielberg coming in and Oliver Stone.
Well, I got to meet at the height of his Hannibal-ness. I got to meet Anthony Hopkins, who won the award
for Best Actor.
And he showed up to the awards ceremony.
He did.
And so I was sitting at a table with him. I was a huge fan of the movie, and I've always
We should point out, for those of you that were born after 1990.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
Hello, Carice.
You did that too well.
Well, here's the thing.
That freaky.
Fly away now, little starling. Well, the scary part was, so there's Anthony Hopkins, and I'm sitting alone with him at this table, and I'm interviewing him. And I said, well, it must be an amazing kind of ability to just morph into Hannibal Lecter anytime you want. And here was Anthony Hopkins, had a suit on, his hair was parted on the side, it wasn't slicked back. You know, he was Anthony Hopkins. He was just some guy. And he, when I said to you can morph into Hannibal Lecter, and he looked at me, and suddenly the face went dead, and he stared me in the eye, and he goes, what do you mean? The hair on the back of my neck, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting across the table from a cannibal. I mean, it was that fast. He was able just to find that character and do it, and it was such a thrill of being such a fan of his and of movies to be sitting at a table with Hannibal Lecter. So if I owe you anything, it was the ability to meet him. But
There's a story behind that too that I was never supposed to tell the public ever.
But the statute of limitations is
done. I think so. Anyway, we got a call from his publicist after that and said in a panic, Mr. Hopkins has lost his lucky rabbit's foot. He won't win the Oscar without it. Can you check the hotel room?
Are you serious?
It happened, and I had no idea he was superstitious, but apparently he is.
So
we searched everything, and we could not find his lucky rabbit's foot. Later on, I read in some magazine article that he believed in his lucky shoes. He had to have his lucky shoes.
Wow.
And I have no idea if somehow we got transposed. It was really his lucky shoes we were looking for. Oh, I saw the shoes. No, just kidding. But I just thought it was strange that that everything hinged on his win, hinged on his lucky.
I got news
for
you.
And I'm guessing he found it.
Yeah, I got news for you. That performance outshone any rabbit's foot.
Yes, well,
he didn't need any rabbit's foot for that.
I don't think he was using rabbits to dine on anyway. So,
well, I wanted to talk to Dan because this Tuesday is the announcement for the Academy Award nominations. And so I wanted to have an expert, and I just found this out, which blows my mind, that you have been with the Daily Herald, and this is quite a tribute to you, especially in today's ever-changing newspaper business. You have been with the Daily Herald for 41 years?
That's correct.
Wow, that is something you should be proud of. And you've been a critic for how long, movie critic?
Well, since 78.
So almost 40 years there.
Close.
Yeah.
No, you promised there would be no math here.
Well, I know. I know. I was going through carry the one. Yeah, okay. But in my view, very few people with as much knowledge about movies on a daily basis. Obviously, this has been your life and your job for 4 decades. So I wanted to get to the main categories because they said on Tuesday, the 24th, what will you be doing when they make the announcements? What will you be doing?
I will be at a computer typing up stuff so that we can instantly translate that into something we can put on the internet.
So you'll get up at 7 o'clock? I mean, because it's 5 o'clock usually L.A. time.
Yeah. Since you mentioned it, it's going to actually be released at a weird time, 7:18 our time. Central time, 7:18 a.m.
So if you are a movie fan, 7:18, you can go online and you will probably begin to see some of the nominees. But Dan is going to look into his crystal ball here, his movie crystal ball, if you will, just like the Wicked Witch did.
Oh, there's one.
And where are you thinking for overall? What was 2016 in terms of movies? Good year, bad year? Where would you?
A lot of people hate it. It was fine. It had the appropriate amount of really, really good films, and at near the end in the last quarter, it kicked into high gear
as usual.
The idea, of course, being that Hollywood saves its most prestigious works for the late in the year because they're deathly afraid that the Academy voters will forget that something came out early in March or February, which might be a commentary on the median age of the voters of the Academy, that they can't remember stuff from February.
That's a good point, too. We were talking about Silence of the Lambs. That movie came out earlier in the year.
Oh, not only earlier in the year, but you have a very good memory. Silence of the Lambs, speaking of that, came out on February 14th, the ideal Valentine's Day movie for everybody who wanted to go out on a first date.
It just goes to show you, though, how that bucked the trend, because there was a movie that was released, and the people didn't vote until the end of the year, and they still remembered how great that movie was and how great.
They didn't vote till the next year, technically.
That's true.
The thing, and since you bring that up, it's impossible to describe exactly how the Oscar voters are going to go, because there's always that extra element of chance, that extra monkey wrench that gets thrown into stuff. Things like the things that violate the general rules of thumb, as Silence of the Lambs did.
And they always do try, they always seem to have a red herring. There's at least one, a lot of times the supporting actor or supporting actress category has always a far-off kind of nominee thrown in there that was not expected or not, nominated by the SAG Awards or by the Golden Globes.
And we have one of those, too.
Why don't we start, but very quickly, before we start with some of the names, what do you think about overall, as you make your picks, did you have to take into consideration the flack from last year with the lack of African-American nominees? Do you think that there will be an overcompensation this year to make up for that? And were there enough films to fill or to do that?
Well, yes and no. But you remember the basting that the Academy got last year from the public,
right,
and from African-Americans particularly. And I was convinced that even though Spotlight was clearly the one that the Oscar people would normally vote for best film, I was convinced that they would go with the Revenant, because it was the only Oscar nominated film, best film, that had American Indians in it, had Native Americans.
Right,
so
right.
They at least they could have compensated for
right.
that. But no, I'm telling you, they went with Spotlight, which is as lily white as you can get as far as the entire cast and most of the crew.
Yeah.
And so my conclusion is that the Oscar voters simply are not going to be bullied into changing into a more sensitive or more diversified voting habits. It's just not going to happen.
So even though movies like Moonlight or Fences, which will be deserving, you don't think that they will be getting extra placement in a lot of the categories?
Well, at least they've gotten nominations. That's the first thing. Are they going to win? I don't think so.
So let me take a quick break here, and then we'll get into the supporting actor and actresses. Those are usually the first ones of the night, so we'll start that way. I've got Dan Geyer with me. He's the film critic for the Daily Herald. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards today. We will be back right after this. No switching. Hey, it's Jim Toronto back at WGN, here with Dan Geyer, the film critic for the Daily Herald. Let me quickly say this, that Kane and Taves battle Vancouver on home ice. Blackhawks, Canucks, tonight, 6:30. WGN TV Sports, where Chicago's very own plays. So we have Dan Geyer here from the Daily Herald, and we're talking about possible Oscar nominations, because the nominations will be announced this Tuesday, January 24th. And what time did you say on Tuesday?
It'll be 7:18.
7:18.
Now, the thing is that what they're doing this year, Jim, is they're ignoring the usual way. Every year they usually get at the Goldwyn Theater, and they get all those people together, and they just have these people come out and read off stuff. They're not going to do that this year.
Really?
It's all new. They're going digital.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Yeah, so what they're going to do is essentially they're going to not do the thing at the Samuel Goldwyn. They're going to just have a global live stream on the Academy's Oscar.com.
Really?
Oscars.org platforms.
So they're not going to have that audience there like the media would always be sitting there waiting?
Right. They're not going to have people standing around
looking
like they're
That
bored.
Is different.
No. So they're going full online here.
Yeah.
Osco. So if you want the Oscars...
Or the Osco. You want to go to Osco.
Osco, sure. 7:18 Central on January 4th, Tuesday. Go straight to Oscar.com or Oscars.org.
Wow.
And also now, of course, ABC's Good Morning America will not be chiseled out of this. They will also be having the broadcast as well. It just will not be in the familiar confines of the Samuel Goldwyn Theater.
Okay, so let's go through the main categories and see where Dan Geyer gets into his crystal ball. So Best Supporting Actor.
Best Supporting Actor. Now, the Best Supporting Actors are, I'm going to read them in alphabetical order here.
Okay. These are your predictions.
Yeah, these are...
Oh, great. Garnack. Geyernack.
Okay. I'm not even... I try to pronounce this. It's Mahershala Ali, who did a phenomenal job as the dad figure slash drug dealer in Moonlight. And then I think we're looking at Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water. We're looking at possibly Kevin Costner in Hidden Figures.
Really? There's a curveball. Field of Dreams reference.
Actually, it's pretty good. Maybe Hugh Grant will be number four. Weirdly enough, Dev Patel, who has a huge part, he has a huge advantage over a lot of the other characters because he is basically the main character for the last half of the movie, Lion.
In Lion, yeah. Wow, those are really. Those are very different.
Now here is the curveball.
Right.
Aaron Taylor Johnson from Nocturnal Animals. No one saw this coming that I could tell. He picked up a Golden Globe knob. So he could be a spoiler there. But there's something else, though, that needles into me, and that is there is this movie that doesn't do a lot of people didn't put on their top 10 list. Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah,
you know,
the Meryl Streep film.
Meryl Streep story based on the true story of the woman who couldn't sing and still managed to sing in opera at Carnegie Hall. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Simon Helbig, the guy from
Wolowitz.
Big Bang.
Wolowitz.
He is custom ordered to get a slot here at the supporting actor category because he's funny. He's totally different than anyone expects. It took me 30 seconds to go, where have I seen that guy before?
Right.
Because his transformation is so total. So basically, there are five and a couple of
curveballs. Wow, that would be wild if Wolowitz wins an Academy Award. Can you imagine him walking around the set of Big Bang Theory with an Oscar?
Wow. And you know what? They're nitty enough. The writers are nitty enough to figure out a way to get that in there.
Yeah. How about Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress. Let's go with the alphabetical order, what I think might be the top five. We're looking at Viola Davis, justly deserved for her work in Fences. We're looking at Naomi Harris as the drugged-out mother in Moonlight. Nicole Kidman as the adoptive mother in Lion, Octavia Spencer in Hidden Figures, and of course, a big, big heavy hitter this year is going to be Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea. So those are there's a possibility we could see Greta Gerwig in 20th Century Woman as a potential spoiler, although I don't think that's that's likely. So
if you had to pick a winner out of that, what would you pick?
Well, the thing is, if I predict them now, I'm going to change my predictions later because things change
a lot. I'm very impressed. I'm liking your picks are not as standard. I mean, you're starting to, all the articles I'm reading, you're starting to just see the same names being regurgitated.
Well, no, these are kind of the same names, really.
Yeah, but not. Yeah, but a few. I mean, it will be interesting to see what happens at the SAG Awards next week, because those are usually a little more of a portent to the Oscars than the Golden Globes. I don't really look at the Golden Globes as anything more than a boozy red carpet party.
That's why it's so popular.
Well, it's popular, but to me, it is not a precursor to the Oscars.
Well, the other thing about the first of all, two things real briefly about the Golden Globes. Number one is they're sponsored by essentially international reporters who report on, you know, their Hollywood foreign press. They report on the movies that come out of Hollywood. They kind of have a vested interest.
Exactly.
There's a slight little conflict of interest in doing that. Plus, they don't have any kind of credentials. They're not like the New York or Chicago or Boston film critics where you actually have credentials and you know what you're talking about.
And they're very starstruck.
And the other thing is, and they're very starstruck, they put on a great show. But the other thing about it is that the Golden Globes also, in the major categories, they have twice as many nominees to pick from than the Oscars.
They have the different comedies, ensembles.
Well, of course, they're going to be a little more, what do you call it, predictive, because they have twice as many hits at the base. So, there we go.
I'm speaking with Dan Geyer here, who is the film critic for the Daily Herald. After the news, we're going to finish the main categories as Dan looks into his crystal ball and sees just how well he will do when the Oscars are announced this Tuesday, the 24th, at 7:18 a.m. Right now, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. No switching. Jim Tirano filling in for Dean Richards this morning. We're talking Oscar predictions. On Tuesday, the Oscar nominations will be announced at 7:18, as we were just told by Dan Geyer, who is the film critic for the Daily Herald. Welcome back, Dan.
Glad to be here. And by the way, that little ditty here, you know, the main theme from La La Land, the tune you just heard is going to win the Oscar for Best Song.
Oh, so, wow. Listen to you. Very confident there.
No, absolutely.
Just, wow. No questions asked.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah. Here. The big so-and-so.
Well, let's write these down, because I said the nominations are going to be announced on the 24th, so I thought it'd be fun to talk with Dan, get some of his picks. So let's talk about Best Actress.
Okay, Best Actress. We've got a wide variety. In fact, we had a glut of really excellent candidates for this. Real briefly, I think the top five are going to boil down to this in alphabetical order. We're looking at Amy Adams for Arrival. We're looking at Isabelle Huppert for Elle. Natalie Portman for Jackie, and Emma Stone, a dead absolute, gotta nominate La La Land. And number five, it's either going to be Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. It could be Annette Bening for 20th Century Women. But there are two women I think are not going to get. I would love if they got on here, but they're not going to, I don't think. Taraji P. Henson, who is absolutely brilliant in Hidden Figures. She is she's funny. She's empathetic. She's smart. I love the way she played the character. Very underplayed. Wonderful performance. Henson, I hope that she gets it, but she probably won't. And then Rebecca Hall from a movie called Christine that no one saw, nobody remembered. One of the best performances of any actress this year. She plays an actual, real broadcaster, news broadcaster in Florida who commits suicide. Oh. It's a tragic tale. Not a great film. Terrific performance. So that's the actress.
Real quick, do you think that La La Land will be the runaway winner?
Right at this point, I would say yes, because it's got an all-white cast.
Really? So they're going to buck the lack of African American nominees once again. You don't think Moonlight's going to get it?
I don't think so at this point. No. And the other thing is, look, I'll tell you what. We don't have time for this right now, but in the week before the Oscars coming out on February 24th, I will write a piece explaining how the racism in Hollywood is so fundamentally in the bedrock of the foundation of this system that even African American filmmakers are not aware of how they contribute to that.
Wow.
And I'll put that out, and that'll be a column
coming up. All right, so Best Actor.
Best Actor. The five top nominees in alphabetical order: Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea, Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge. Wonderful performance. Ryan Gosling, La La Land, of course. Now, Viggo Mortensen and Captain Fantastic, the movie is forgettable, but he is not. He keeps coming back and back and back again. And number five, of course, has to be Denzel Washington for his wonderful performance in Fences.
And Best Picture.
However, before I go further than I should point out, the one guy who's not going to make it who should is Lewis McDougall from Monster Calls, a kid who was so amazing in his role, he was such a wounded soul. Having a mother who's dying of cancer, I thought his performance outdid everyone else's. And then after I saw the film, I found out that a year before he made this film, his mother died.
So he drew upon that.
I think that's so. Okay, so movie. Top five possibly are going to be in alphabetical order. Arrival. Possibly Fences. Hacksaw Ridge. Hell or High Water. No. What am I talking about? No, wrong list. Boom, back up. La La Land. Manchester by the Sea. Arrival, Lion, and Moonlight. Those are the ones I think that are going to do
it. Okay, well, we will write those down and check those off. Thank you, Dan Geyer, for joining me. I'm sorry we have to rush out, but we do have to get to a game here. I'm Jim Toronto, filling in for Dean Richards. Hope you had a good time today. I am here on business. I'm only here for fun. I hope to talk to you soon. Stay tuned for Dave Ennett. We're doing a pregame, and then Northwestern will be playing Ohio State. Have a good Sunday.